and he wants that deep, personal, intimate relationship with us. And when we have that open heaven, if we want open heaven to stay open, we have to sacrifice. And maybe that's a combination of your time, your talent, your treasure, reading the word and praying and worshiping and fasting, whatever combination of that it is. But those things have to happen, and we have to sacrifice. This is something that we just can't sit back and say, okay, God bless me. Do your thing. I'm your child. I deserve it. I'm not like the prodigal son. I want mine now, right? You know, I know, God, I want all you got for me, but I don't want to just expect you just to bless me for no reason. I want to bless you, and I want to honor you. Amen. So we're going to go through this and talk about this today. And today, title of my message is believe in miracles. I changed it like 14 times, Bruce. Y'all wouldn't believe how hard it is for me to do a message. Sometimes I have one title up here on the top of it, then I'll have another title here, and I'll have another title on the screen. I keep changing it because to me, titles were important, you know. I had originally, Do You Believe in Miracles? But this right here kind of really put a twist on it, because you could say, Believe in Miracles or Believe in Miracles. You know what I'm saying? So I love that little thing to make your mind wonder what I'm trying to talk about. You know, do you have any idea what the greatest Sports Illustrated of all time moments in history of sports was? I assumed it was, you know, whenever back in 84, I believe, 82, whenever Michael Jordan shot that game-winning shot to win the NCAA championship. You know, that's anything with them. Or maybe next year, they've already professed already the greatest time in history is next year when Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl. You know? You know, I don't know, but you know what they said it was? It was in 1980, the Olympics. It was a collection of a whole bunch of U.S. college hockey players against the Soviet Union professional world-class pros. And it was we won 4-3. And we advanced to the gold medal round against Finland. And is often known as the miracle on ice. That's what they said. And Al Michaels, anybody remember Al Michaels? He was commentating, and this is what he said. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown is going on right now. Michaels bellowed. Morrow up to Silk. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! And they won. Right? That they went in there. So my question to you today is, do you believe in miracles? Because if you don't, they won't happen. If you don't believe in healing, it's not going to happen. If you don't believe, and this is kind of also, it was still the same. If you don't believe in favor, you're not going to have it. People tell me, well, I don't believe in favor. That's why you ain't got none. You know, you have to believe in something for something to come from it. You know, and so there was lots of miracles. Matter of fact, in the first four books of the New Testament, in the Gospels, Jesus performed 35 miracles. 17 bodily cures, which was like leprosy, paralysis, blindness, healing the deaf and the mute. 17 of those. 9 miracles over nature. Catching fish, calming the storms, walking on water, feeding the multitudes, turning water into wine, all that kind of stuff over nature. 6 times he delivered a demon-possessed person. They were demon-possessed and he delivered them 6 times and set them free. There were 3 different resurrections that he resurrected from the dead. The son of the widow of Nain, the daughter of Jairus, and Lazarus, those 3 times. The good thing is that Jesus said that you will do greater things than I. How powerful. Okay, look at that. 35 times right there, 35 miracles right there just in the first 4 books of the Bible. Jesus says, you and me, that we will do greater things than he did. You know, how can we do greater things than that? Well, because we have social media. We have so many more people around that, you know, we have access to more people, for more people to find out, for more things to happen. And the power of the Holy Spirit is here with us as he was with them, but with us in a different way. And so there's a lot of things that really can happen through us if we would just believe. You know, we have to believe. You have to have faith that God's going to do it. You have to have trust in God and believe, you know, because like we said the other day, don't pray for me if you don't believe. You know, when I say, hey, so this person's got cancer. If you believe, I want you to come up and pray. If you don't believe that person's going to get healed from cancer, stay in your seat. Don't bring that negativity up here, that one thorn. You know what I'm saying? So, by definition, what is a miracle? A surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be works of a divine agency, God. Right? Tim Keller wrote this. He's passed now, but man, I've quoted Tim Keller several times, but this time I was so excited when I read this. This really helped me understand even better. Let me tell you what he says. He says, we modern people think of miracles as a suspension of the natural order. We feel like, okay, well, a miracle is a natural order of things. It's suspended, and then God just does something supernatural, right? Okay, well, here's what he says. The Bible tells us that God did not originally make the world to have disease, hunger, and death in it. Jesus came to redeem for what is wrong, to heal the hurt where it's broken. His miracles are not proofs that he has power, but also wonderfully foretaste that what he is going to do with the power. Jesus' miracles are not just a challenge of our minds, but a promise of our hearts that the world we all want is coming. So what he's saying is that he does not suspend time and perform a miracle. What he's doing is he's setting what was wrong back the way it should be. He is redeeming and restoring what is wrong and what is broken and putting it back the way it was in the beginning. That's a miracle. A miracle is something that the enemy stole and broke something, you know, and messed something up, and God is just putting it back the way it's supposed to be. That's not breaking natural. That's the way it should have been in the first place. Amen? So we have to be praying for miracles. If you never pray for a miracle, you'll never get a miracle. You know, Craig, it occurred to me that Craig said that about Elise, but about her heart, the heart problem. And then not too long, he was walking around with a heart monitor, you know, 24/7. And God healed him of that heart issue. So praise God for God's healing power and miracles. But are you praying for miracles? What miracle are you praying for? What miracle do you need in your life, in your marriage, or in your family? What do you need for God to restore that was lost? What do you need God to heal? We're going to take a look at a miracle in Acts chapter 3. And it says, starts off Acts 3, 1 through 11, but just the first verse here. I'm going to break it down and talk about each verse. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. They had 3 o'clock prayer service back in the day. And so they were going to do that. Peter and John were both commissioned by Jesus to be examples and to be apostles and to be ambassadors of Jesus. And so they went out. But before we go to that miracle that happened, let's go turn back one page to Acts chapter 2, 42 through 44, and see what it happened. Because this is what started the ability for the miracles to come. Okay? It says, every believer, this is what caused them to be in a place where this is right after the Holy Spirit had come in the upper room. Every miracle was faithfully devoted to the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of awe swept over everyone. And the apostles performed miracles or miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another everything they had. That's what causes an atmosphere of expectancy for miracles. That we're faithful in devoting and following the Word of God. That we're linked together, that we share in communion, that we come together for prayer, that we have a deep sense of awe, you know, and that we believe in signs and wonders, and we are in one body and in one mind. Then miracles can happen. That was in the previous chapter. Now let's go back to chapter 3 and see what happened after they went to the 3 o'clock prayer meeting. It says, verse 2, as they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the gate called Beautiful. And I showed y'all a picture of that when I was in Israel. I was there. It's a big, beautiful, big, beautiful gate called Beautiful up top, and there was a ton of stairs. So they had to take him up all them stairs. And that's where the priest would go up there and read Psalms, and there was some wide, wide steps and some small steps and wide steps. They would all stop and read a psalm and then go on up and up and up and up until they got to the top. So this man was sitting up at the top of the gate called Beautiful. So he could beg from people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Okay? So this lame man was lame and asked Peter and John to support them, to support him in his lameness, in his situation, in his circumstance, in his condition. He's like, I know how I am. I'm okay with being this way right now. I want you to support me in my condition. But let's let that sink in for a second. Do you think in your current situation that you are wanting God to support you in your current condition? Because what God wants to do, He wants to do something different. He wants to change your condition so you can support yourself. He don't want you to have to go be in that condition. Why would we have, what He should have said is, I need healing, I need help, I need hope. You know, but He was asking for money, saying, you know what, I know how I've accepted this, just support me so I can continue on living in my condition. We need to change that prayer and start saying, God, change my condition so I can go about and support myself. Amen? That's two very different things. You know, do you want to be supported in your current condition or provided for in your current condition? Verse 4, Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. Yeah, that's a funny thing. You know, it reminds me, do you remember your mom or dad when you said, hey, can I have $20 to go out and eat lunch or supper or go out with my friends? And they said, look at me. Look at me. Look at my face. You ever heard that? Does money grow on trees? You know, does it look like I am made of money? You know, they might have said, if I needed two nickels to rub together, I'd have to borrow one of them. Or I'm so broke I can't even afford to pay attention. Or if someone saw me kicking a can down the street, they would think I was moving. That's all I had. A guy walked into a house and stepped on a cigarette butt that was lit, and Mama said, who turned off the heat? Or they said, I'm so broke I can't even afford a trip down memory lane. But you know, but the thing is that we had that, and you know, and they said, look at me. But when you say, look at me, look at my face, you are trying to get their attention, right? And you're saying, I want you to pay attention to this. And then the lame man looked at them eagerly, verse 5, looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. They're like, okay, I'm going to look at your face, give me some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you. But I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. See, some would say the worst thing that you could ever say is, I ain't got no money. You know, but it'd be much worse if you didn't have the power of God in your life to tell someone to get up and walk. Even if you have no money, you still have the power of God. He's going to supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Amen? In verse 7, then Peter took up the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up and stood on his feet and began to walk with no therapy, with no strength enough, not noodling. It says he began to get up and jump and walk. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Praise God. What a miracle. See, there were three things that this guy did that was a great response. Number one, as soon as he got up, he went with them. He didn't say, okay, thanks, guys, I appreciate it, and left. He went up with them into the temple of God. Secondly, he used and started with what God had just blessed him with, his legs. So he used those and began to walk and leap to show everybody, look at my miracle. And then finally, he went inside and worshiped and thanked God for his healing. That was something that he did that we all need to make sure and do. Now, verse 9, 10, and 11 says, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized that he was a lame beggar that they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. So we're going to talk about this week about what does a miracle mean and what happens, what is the message in the miracle. But I want to ask you, I want to ask you today, does God still heal today? He did back then. Does He still heal today? Listen, there's nothing in the Word of God that says that healing has stopped. As a matter of fact, we've got many proofs in this room of God. I'm proof that God heals just from not too long ago, right? You know, amen, we're believing that and continue to believe that, continue to heal in my body. But, you know, I've experienced myself. So why does God heal? Well, as an act of love and mercy, He says, I wish that you be in good health and prosper. He wants us to be whole and healthy as a validation of His servants and to prove the validity of those who are praying that they are of God. And a sign of the coming of the kingdom of God, that one day we're all going to be healed. We're all going to be whole. We're all going to be blessed, right? And also as a witness to non-believers. How wonderful is it for a non-believer to know, I've told several non-believers my story about me being in a hospital. You know, and they're like, that's incredible, Pastor. You know, I've told some nurses, they're like, oh, wow, really? I can't, oh, wow, that's a big deal. For you to have a torn, you know, and so when you tell people that are not non-Christians about how you were healed, they're like, it makes them think. They may not show it to you right then, but they're thinking, how did that happen? That's not normal. That's not the way that life normally goes. And number five is to fuel our worship. Because like Craig said, Elisa's here today. She's worshiping because she's healed and that she's alive and that she's here and today and she's able to be a fiancé. A fiancé to CJ back there. All right. CJ's happy that she didn't pass away right there on that little table with a little child. Or he'd still be looking around. Where's Elise? I got my fiancé somewhere around here, but I don't see it. So CJ and Elise, very happy. So should healing be like Acts 1 and 3 where we just walk around and say, hey, I ain't got nothing to give you, but get up and be healed. You know? Well, that's kind of hard to think about because we don't always experience supernatural things like that, as we see in Scripture. Is it because we don't have the faith that they did? That's a lot of the time, that's it. A lot of the time, miracles, signs, and wonders do not happen because we don't have the faith. Or maybe the frequency, intensity of which they were healed in the chapter of Acts kind of authenticate the message that was given to the apostles, that God, for that time, God pushed them out for healing for that time. And there are different times He does it. But one of those times that He does do it is through an open heaven. And obviously God gave the apostles that unusual endowment of power. So I want you to understand during this open heaven, that God is going to heal. We are going to see miracles this year. We are going to see God's voice. We are going to hear. We are going to experience God deeper and more powerful than we ever had before this year. Because He said even greater things that you will do than I. And if we don't, see the supernatural, well, why not? It's our fault. It's not God's fault. God's like, I'll do it, especially under an open heaven. So should hope of the supernatural replace medical procedures? No, the Bible never says that. I often tell people, well, I'm just going to take off of my meds. I'm just going to quit my meds. Okay, that's not the right thing to do. That's crazy. Now, some people have, you know, like Craig, when he took off that thing, he heard from God 100% and he knew. I'm healed and I don't need that. That's rare. That doesn't happen normally. But how do I know that God approves and believes in doctors and medical? Well, first off, because He's a great physician. So He believes in physicians, or He wouldn't even use that name. Matter of fact, He's just not the great physician. He's the greatest physician. Right? Everybody else calls the practice. This is our, because they practice on you all the time, right? Okay, so that's their practice, but God is a healer, you know, and so He calls His wholeness, right? So, but the thing is, but Jesus walked around with who? Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke wrote one of the Gospels. Who was Luke? Luke was a doctor. Luke was a doctor. If Jesus did not believe and God does not believe in doctors, why would He have a doctor write one of the Gospels? I guarantee you, you know, Jesus looked at Luke and says, Doc, man, my stomach's messed up, man. Well, hey, eat these leaves. You'll be better tomorrow. I mean, I'm sure he gave them medical advice. He was a doctor. He probably looked at them and they're like, "Hey, man, I'm having this problem." And they're like, and the doctor said, "Here, do this right here. Eat these berries. Go do this. Go do that." You know, he is the greatest physician. So God does use that. So sometimes God heals through doctors and medication. So you can be healed, and he uses that sometimes. That is healing. A miracle is he heals you and you don't need that no more. Right? So will everyone, this is important, will everyone who prays in faith be healed? Yes and no. Yes, because eventually we're all gonna die and get to heaven. And that's the ultimate healing. Sometimes we pray for people, God, heal them, heal them, heal them. And we think it's going to be here on earth, but his healing is in heaven. And here's something that I want you to understand. When we pray for somebody, like y'all did for me, and God healed me, God is faithful. But if y'all prayed for me and God didn't heal me and I didn't make it, I want you to know God is still faithful. We look at people that get healed. Well, y'all, they're just holy. He's a pastor. This is, you know, hey, he's living right. God loves him. No, God does not love the person who dies any more than the person who lives. He's faithful if someone lives or dies. God is God. God is faithful. God is good. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We don't understand why God takes people sometimes. It hurts our feelings. We're mad sometimes even at God. But we got to trust him and say, God, I don't understand this. This makes zero sense to me. But you are God, and you know what's right. Why do good things, bad things happen to good people? I've said it. I've preached a whole message on this before. Because of Adam and Eve. That's why. They sinned, and when they sinned, it put a virus into the computer system, the world. And because of that, there are bad people who do bad things. That's why Jesus came and said, now I come so you can accept me and you can be eternally healed one day. There's going to be bad people do bad things and the people are going to suffer because of it. So that's what that is. Sometimes God, and then other times God doesn't heal people that we pray that they don't pass away, but he doesn't heal people just like it. We saw it, even though it was a film, you know, in The Chosen, when God told little John, said, I choose not to heal you right now because you're going to give me the glory and people's going to see you give me the glory and I'm going to use that for my benefit. God's going to see you worship and praise even through that. I'm still believing after however many years that my eyes are going to be healed, you know, and I'm still having faith, but it hadn't happened. But the doctor said it'll never get better. It'll only get worse and it may stay the same. Well, buddy, 5 years it stayed the same. That's healing to me. 5 straight years it stayed the same. And the doctor said, again, he said, Doug, this is not supposed to, it's supposed to at least gradually get worse. And for 5 years, yours has stayed the same. I said, that's healing to me. I'll take that. You know, hey, Jesus. And then sometimes we got to understand healing is progressive. Jesus himself, Jesus, the Son of God, prayed for a man. And Jesus said, look, said, hey, can you see now? He said, no, not really. I still see men as trees. I don't see clearly. Jesus Christ, pray for the man. You don't think he has the power to heal instantly? Yes. But he wanted to show us. Then he prayed for him again, and then he got healed. I believe, and from what I believe that God's showing me in that scripture, is that sometimes God progressively heals. It's not always instantaneous. Sometimes it's not by a doctor. It may be through prayer. It may be through a miracle. But sometimes miracles happen immediately, and then sometimes God heals progressively. And God wants you to understand that. Amen. Praise God. But I want you to understand that God, regardless of if God chooses to answer your prayer or not, he is sovereign, he is holy, he is good, and he is faithful. And if you learn that today, right now, when tragedy hits your life, you'll be a whole lot better. Rather than turning to God and shaking your fist, you're going to say, God, I learned this. You're still faithful. I don't understand it. And you can give me that peace that passes understanding because I don't understand this. And when you pray for somebody, they don't get healed. And you're praying and praying and praying. I prayed for people that I just knew. I was like, I ain't got to go check on them. They healed and they weren't. But I had that faith. But God had a different plan. I don't understand his plan. Why? Hey, but you know what? Paul left Trophimus, the gentleman, he left him in a city called Miletus. And it says he was ill. He said, Paul left Miletus and Trophus, and he was ill. Paul had the ability to pray for him and him get healed, but he didn't. God didn't heal him. Matter of fact, what Paul? Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he asked God many, he said over and over and over, please, God, heal this thorn in my flesh. You know, but God said, no, I'm not. I'm going to leave that there to keep you humble. So sometimes we don't get healed. But when God does not heal you, he will always give you the grace, the strength, and the power to walk through that with him. And he'll give you the hope and the strength, and you can walk through that and give God the glory. Praise God. Amen. So how can the church provide, as the mic comes, how can the church provide healing for our city and our state and our world? Well, we heard already that whenever you rend the heavens, the nations shake, right? So how are we going to reach the nations, Pastor? Well, first off, we have people all over the world watching our podcasts and our live streams, right, John? I must be in the back. Okay, never mind. I think he's working with the kids today. I forgot about that. But the thing is, but we do. We have people from all over the world watching. You know, and even if it's not in the natural, in the supernatural, things happen here can create a spiritual vibration and ripples all the way across. Now, are we trying to do this? And is this open heaven for us, Pastor? We'll look good. So people say, well, Kingdom Impact, Pastor Doug. No, not at all. Zero, zilch, nada, never. It's never about us. We don't do anything for us. We do it for God, to God get the glory. For God to be exalted. For God to be glorified. For him to be lifted up high. Anytime says, well, hey, great things are happening over there, you know, over there at Kingdom Impact. So our answer is, to God be the glory. It's all about him. Well, Pastor, man, he's preaching. He prayed and they got healed. Everybody got healed that day. Well, hey, he's only the vessel. Don't ever let God, anybody give me the glory or you the glory. Always reflect it back to God, because as quick as God gives it, he can take it. He can shut that door in a heartbeat and say, oh, it's about you now? Okay. Like elevator door closes, slam shut. But so what do we want to be known for? Do we want to be known for barbecue dinners? Do we want to be known for the Funnel Cake Festival? Do we want to be known for Operation Warm Hands and Feet? I was at a church one time, and the church was known as the yard sale church. I said, so we're over here on Sheep Road. So they're like, oh, that's a yard sale church. I was like, yeah. That's what they looked at us as. There's nothing wrong with doing that stuff. There's nothing wrong for being known for a funnel cake festival, because you're the only one that had it. There's nothing wrong with that. Secondly or thirdly, but you don't want to be known for that over being a church of hope, a church of healing, a church with the presence of God. You don't want to be known for a church that gossips. You don't want to be known for a church that don't accept people. You don't want to be known for a church, you know, that you walk in there and nobody talked to me today. You don't want to be known for a church that soon somebody walks in and they're full of sin and got all this stuff in their life and all this junk, and people look at them and jeer at them and talk about them. It's good to be known for our worship, and we are. You know, and it's good to be known for our facility, which, ish, mid, I don't know. We're going to be known for our next facility, I promise you that. They'll be like, oh, check that new building they got out. To God be the glory. But we want to be known for a church that brings healing and hope and worship and intimacy with God. I don't care if anybody ever remembers my name. That little bald-headed chubby dude, man. I remember him a long time ago. I had somebody, a teenager when I was at White Oak, I had about 220 teenagers there. And I had one of them the other day that had been going through a lot of stuff. And she texted me and said, Pastor, I haven't always lived right. And I'm not really living right now. But I want you to know, I'll never forget the things you taught me. That made me feel so good. That means God's working on her. And to reverse that, I sent her a picture. She was she drew beautiful pictures. I sent her back a picture that she drew of me, praying for somebody. And she said, Pastor, look, I cannot believe you kept that picture after all these years. I was like, you wouldn't believe the little notes, like little sticky notes I got back there from back when I was a first youth pastor. Pastor Doug, I love you. Hey, Pastor Doug, what's up? Or whatever. I got a whole box full of just little sticky notes and little things that kids and people and different people had written to me and said, hey, this means a lot to me. Why would you do that? Well, so when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, I can pull my little box out and see I made a difference in somebody's life. And that'll keep me going and keep me strong. We want to pastor this city. We're a small church. There's a bigger church that can pastor. We'll pastor together. We'll be an associate pastor of the city. I don't care. We just want to help reach this city. Just because other people are reaching it don't mean that we can't reach it too. As I often say, we're all on the same team trying to do the same thing. We're all going to be in heaven together. There ain't going to be a Life Point church side of heaven and a Kingdom Impact church side of heaven and a Second Mile church. There ain't going to be no separate parts in heaven. We're all going to be one. We want to stand in the gap between a loving God and a hurting people. And we want to reach out to those hurting people. We want to bring people together, not further divide by separating the church. We want to say, if you need counseling, we'll help. If you need a bag of groceries, we'll help. If you need a safe place, rehabilitation, we'll help. If you need community, you got questions or doubts, we'll help. If you have an addiction or a desire that is not for a fresh start, or addiction to get something that is grabbed you, we'll help. Do you need a miracle? We'll help. Now, sometimes because of our finances, a lot of times because of our finances, we might not can help financially, but I can lead you to someplace else that has the finances to help. I might can take you in counsel, but so long, but sometimes you may need clinical counseling and I can help you from the spiritual side and somebody else can help you from the clinical side. You know, maybe we can give you a tank of gas or maybe a little bit of groceries or something. Somebody came the other day and said, hey, I don't have any food. Well, there was a 2-liter unopened Mountain Dew, whoever it was, I'm sorry. But it was a 2-liter Mountain Dew in the refrigerator. And we still had some hot dogs left over and some frozen hot dogs or frozen buns. I said, hey, we're here. Take this right here. Is this okay? And hey, here's some chips. I was grabbing. Oh, here's some candy. I was grabbing stuff out the door. As I went out the door, if I saw some food or something. Here's two of those cinnamon bun things that they have out there in the green room. I grabbed two of those and gave them to them. You know? So whatever we could do, it may not be a lot, but we're going to do something. You may not can do a lot, but you can do something. What can you do to serve God? What can you do to serve this community? What can you do to serve this church? God is great. He does miracles so great. There's no one else like Him. Nobody. And He deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. He deserves the praise. And if you want to see this year God do all these great things, continue with your 30 and 30. Continue reading and praying. Continue seeking God. And look for opportunities to pray for people. And begin to pray for miracles in your own life. Begin to pray for other people that need a miracle in their life. And allow God to do something supernatural. And just remember, everybody don't get healed here on earth. Some get healed in heaven. And God doesn't heal everybody. But maybe the reason you're not getting healed because He knows you're going to give Him the glory. And just remember that God is sovereign and He has it all under control. We may not understand it, but He has it. Is there anybody here today, right before we're going to sing one last song, You Are Great? But is there anybody here today would say, as you bow your head, close your eyes, you would say, Pastor Doug, I'm not a Christian. I don't know Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, but I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want Christ to come into my life and change me and touch me, and I want Him to help me. Anybody at all want to receive Christ? Who would say, Pastor Doug, by slipping up your hand, say, Pastor Doug, I'm believing for miracles, signs and wonders, and healings this year. Did you raise your hand? And I'm going to believe with you, and I'm ready to see it, and I'm ready to tell everybody about it. And I'm ready to give God the glory for it. Amen. If that's you, would you please stand and let's sing this song right fast. You do miracles so great. There is no like You.
like you. You are great.
Tell him he's great this morning. Just love on him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you deserve all the glory, all the honor and all the praise. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Hallelujah. Yes, God, you deserve all the glory. God, we honor you today. We honor you today. Why? Why? You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. Hallelujah. God, we bless you today. Thank you, Jesus. God, there is no one else like you. Nobody can do what you do for me. Nobody can make me feel the way you feel. There's nobody I trust like I trust you. There's nobody I have faith in like I have faith in you. Without you, Lord, I don't want to be here. Without you, I am non-existent. I have no power, no authority without you. God, help us at this small church with big faith to see big things this year as you promised. Hallelujah. God, we give you praise and glory for it, God. We're not going to accept any of the praise. We're going to give you the glory. Why, Father? Because it's about the kingdom of God. It's not about kingdom impact. It's about the kingdom, but not kingdom impact. It's about the kingdom of God. And we surrender to you, sir. And we honor you, and you are great. And you are worthy to be praised. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. You're a big deal to me and a bigger deal to God. Go out this week and be expecting miracles. Don't wait for the worship night, but come back on the worship night, February 2nd. Invite everybody. Invite other churches. We're not going to try to keep them. We just want them to experience what we have here. Then go back and bless their church with it. In Jesus' name, amen.